Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
We're at the end of January, and our theme for the whole of January is living in everyday wonder. The idea is that life has wonder just naturally built into it. It's present everywhere, not just when we're being holy or when something amazing is happening, but in the ordinary daily activities of our lives, everywhere, all the time. So our invitation this month is to develop an awareness of that wonderment that's in life. And how? Well, we've been at it all month. We started the first 2 weeks talking about how we have to pay attention for wonder to reveal. It's there, but sometimes we don't see it. We can take it for granted. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk about that sometimes I do take for granted is we have a magazine in our movement. Did you know that? The Science of Mind magazine. And it's amazing little magazine. It's the longest small format metaphysical print magazine that's been in run in publication for the longest in the history of the United States. That may be urban legend, but I believe it. And it's called A Guide for Spiritual Living, and I'm going to relate it. There's so many wonderful things in here. One article by the editor, Expect Amazement. So you see, the magazine is synced with the themes that each center follows. So it's sort of like an assist. You can get even more. And there information about celebrating our soul, people of African descent, New Thought Conference happening at Unity Village in August. Amazing. And then there's the statement, and what? This is a beautiful article, Practice Awe for the Ordinary, written by somebody, Edward Fillion. It says here, I saw a t-shirt that read, Go outside, the graphics are awesome. Reading the words renewed my awareness of how easy it is for me to miss the holy beauty of creation when my mind is racing. The message prompted me to develop a habit of interrupting routines. Oh, that's such a powerful practice. Interrupting routines that distract me from the experience of being present for the awesome world that we live in. While everything else is going on, there's still awe and wonder present. Going outside may seem ordinary, but it can become spectacular when paired with an attitude of mind that purposefully looks for the magnificent. I mean, think of it as a project, an assignment. Your assignment, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to go out and find that which may have been overlooked, taken for granted. So the little magazine is filled up with really wonderful support for our themes. I'll get back to the magazine in a moment. In the third week, we heard from Reverend Ruth, and she talked about, we have to balance the looking out there with the being right here. By embracing the present moment, letting the enoughness of the present moment also be like medicine for our soul. And then last week, Reverend Russ talked about being curious about everything and asking all those whys. Now that brings us up to date for the last week in January, where we're talking about, well, now prove it. To who? To you, right? One of my best friends, he and I, we've got this little thing that we do. Whenever we find some new supplement, a new diet, a new gadget, or a new product, we enthusiastically recommend it to each other before we've tried it for ourselves. Right? Oh, this is amazing. You should try it. You go first. I've heard it's really good. It's all these online reviews. But now over time, we've become wise to each other's shenanigans. You know, this enrollment process, this experimenting on our loved ones. So now it's like, no, if you think it's such a good idea, you go first. You do it. You prove it. And that's what this week is about, moving from it's a good idea to my experience of it is my proof. Because there are some things in life I can't learn by reading about it, listening about it. You know, I might watch yoga classes on YouTube. I might even learn all of the names of the poses in two languages. I could become very knowledgeable about it without even getting up off of my couch. But I will not have proven yoga. I'll have no experience of it. I'll have knowledge but no experience. And that's when I discover that head knowledge, it turns out, can only really go so far. Experience is a beautiful teacher. And it's very personal and individual. So that's our invitation this week, is to let this week be about proving to yourself what spiritual practice does. And you may already be doing it. But how about it's not so much about what you think a spiritual practice does. It's not so much about what you know about spiritual practice or how many steps there are in a spiritual mind treatment or who the founders of New Thought are or how many, remember we used to have CDs and audio cassettes, how many did you collect a lot of those? Oh my goodness, I collected so many, or how many books you've got that you haven't read? But what is your experience of practice doing for you, teaching you? So whatever it is that you do for a spiritual practice, whichever one you think will do it for you, do it for 40 days. And test it. Now, why 40 days? Well, I just made that up. Right? It's just enough so that it's a habit. There's no rule. It's just like, when friends tell me, well, I went to the gym once. It hurt. I quit. Okay. You got to get through the uncomfortable part. So do it for 40 days, whatever it is. Like, so for example, if I think that reading an inspirational spiritual passage first thing in the morning at 6 a.m. is a good idea, then let me do it. Don't try to get other people to do it, which, by the way, I'm doing anyway. If I think lighting a candle and sitting quietly looking at the flame once a day is going to be good for my center of peace and my peace in mind, let me do it. And let me see how does it work. Now, I have been doing that. I've been doing it at 6 a.m. Pacific time. I told you about that. It's just a 15-minute, I call it a devotional. I love that word. And it's a practice that is open to anybody. Anybody can join me in my practice. The directions are on our website. You see, I've had some big changes in my life recently, and the pandemic is stressful. So I could see the signs of stress in me. I could see the writing on the wall. And I've got all of the head knowledge in the world. I know what to do. I know that a reset is needed through a solid practice that it would do good for me, but knowing it is one thing, doing it is another. So I gave myself a talking to, right? Do it. So now I light a candle at 6 a.m. in the morning, and I read an inspirational quote, and I think about it, and then I do a prayer. Now I'm about 40 days into this because I started at the end of last year. And so now I'm at the point where I can ask myself, how is this working for you, Edward? See? There's a saying. I don't know if you know this saying in America. It's the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Or we say it sometimes, the proof is in the pudding. Now, it's hard to explain because pudding is not probably what you think it is. You know, in the United States, it's a dessert. No. I mean, one version is, but another version, it's kind of like a savory dumpling, something with a crust around some interesting. Anyway, I'm getting off track. The point of it is you can't tell by looking at this thing called a pudding what it's going to be like because it doesn't look good. Sometimes you got to break through the crust. It can't just be one day at the gym. You got to break through the crust and you got to dig in and you got to eat it to know if it's good. It's the same with practice. After 40 days, you have the right to ask yourself, how's this working for you, Edward? I've also been asking the people who've joined me, because they've been joining me now for some of them every single day. They're digging in for themselves. They're not doing it for me. They're doing it for them. I've been asking them, hi, how's this working for you? Oh, and the responses. I've heard from first responders, nurses, doctors who are struggling with the pandemic and the waves of inhumane, unkind treatment aimed at them. I've heard from people who've relocated to take care of family or grandchildren or feeling disconnected from their spiritual family. And I've had people tune in from Bhutan, Peru, Mexico, Central America, South America, Canada, you name it, United Kingdom. Now, I don't have to tell these people what the benefits are from the practice. I can ask them, how is this working for you? Because they are proving it for themselves. You see, that question is so beautiful. Can use it in other settings as well. How's it working for you? It helps me stay curious about others. It helps me keep my mind open to a diversity of experience. Rather than telling people how they should be, discovering how they are. Because this practice that I'm doing may not work for other people, and I have to be good with that. It might just be plain boring to some people, right? Everybody's got to have their own way. That is the way of things. We don't know the way anywhere. We don't even know where we are. Do you realize that? So I notice that when something is working for me, I don't have to sell it. I don't have to convince other people to do it. If it's working, it's working in me, and the proof is inside of my life. When something is working for you, you don't have to convince your best friend to try it, or me, that it's working, or anyone else. What matters is the change in your life, the proof. And then when it's working in you, you know you have the energy of it. So I like to say people who are all prayed up are lovely to be with. Because there's an energy about them. They don't need to convince you. When you're doing your practice and you're reminding yourself every day about the truth of your being and you're reconnecting with the living spirit every morning in the way that works for you, That's wonderful. It's what's inside. How it got there, I don't care, right? It's that you get there. Yeah, we're definitely inspired by each other's authentic experience. Whatever it is you do authentically to know the God truth about you, we are inspired by that. Courage in others inspires me to be courageous. Generosity in others, somebody who's learned the power, the spiritual power of generosity, encourages me to share. Forgiveness in others inspires me to dare to try it. Spiritual practice that is solid in another person makes me want to do it. We pick up and absorb the benefit from each other. So the work I do for me, it turns out, is for you. And the spiritual work you do for you, turns out is for me. What's better than that? I think that's why some faiths emphasize the importance of keeping spiritual company, putting yourself in situations where the conversation leads you upward and doesn't take you down. That's why I value the Center for Spiritual Living so much, because it creates opportunities for us to connect and to talk and to practice together. Look, nothing beats being actually together in person, but that's coming. Right now we're using technology also to connect, and it may not be perfect, but I need my spiritual community, and I will take it in whatever form I can get it. I'm not giving up on that. I'm not waiting. No. Well, I had a look in the bulletin for examples of how we might connect. This is crazy good. We've got Saturday meditation group. We've got lunchtime learning coming, of course, highlighting Black history with Lawrence Edwards and Celeste Austin and Calvin Johnson and Olivia Kinsler. And the topics are all there already, and they look thrilling. And there are weekly opportunities. There are circles for spiritual connection. And I hear from Reverend Russ very soon when the weather clears up. He's doing spiritual walks in nature. And then classes are starting. And then there's that daily practice generating love. And then there's Sunday evening conversations. And then there are these things called life visioning circles. And then there are groups like the Cancer Thrivers. Isn't that great? And Wednesday evening meditation, inviting the sacred. And did you know on the first Tuesday of every month at 3:00, the whole community is invited to join the staff and me for prayer at 3 p.m. on Zoom? It's absolutely open to everybody, 3 p.m. Pacific time. And then there are full circle conversations about death and dying. There's seniors in spirit. There's the third act. There's the being and belonging discussion group. And then there are monthly peace meditations. Whoa. So I mentioned these to invite you to think about picking one or two or three, especially a regular one, and make a habit of it, if you want to. Get enough experience of it, say after 40 times with it. And then ask yourself, how's this working for me? And if it's coming alive in you, you don't need to tell anybody else about it. And if it's not, go to something else. One of the three jewels of Buddhism is to take refuge in the Sangha. In other words, make your home in the spiritual community. Why? Well, I can tell you why for me. It's because it's good for me to be in conversation and communion, in connection with people who are practicing. Help me stay on my practice. When I'm in the company of people who are practicing, my conversation goes up, My energy goes up. My hope goes up. My trust goes up. And I need that just like everybody. Here's a question, a bunch of questions for this week. Who are the faith builders in your life? Because maybe you're watching from another city and you're far away from this particular community. You might have some faith builders in your life. You know, people who by hanging out with them, you feel better, stronger. And do you spend enough time with them? Another side of the question is, how are you building that faith confidence in the world? In other words, what is your practice that you do that lifts this world up? Somebody got to help hold it up. Back to our little Science of Mind magazine. I want to highlight a feature. You can subscribe to it. It is ridiculously cheap. I think it's like $4, $5 or something. It's ridiculous. It's worth so much more. And in the middle, you can see there's a different color paper. There are daily guides, because maybe 6 o'clock on Zoom's not your thing, you know. You don't want to do that. There's a guide inside for every day of the month. And you can use this with your family, with your loved ones. You could just read through it at a mealtime. Or you could create a group of your own in your neighborhood or friends you've been to class with. Or you can, if you're a loner, you can sit outside all by yourself. And just use the words to anchor your day or your evening. And you can pick a time that suits you. See, here's the thing about spiritual practice. Everybody's making it up. Everybody who says they know the way, they don't know the way. There's a way for you, though. For sure. Listen to this one. It'll be our practice for closing today. This is for today, Sunday, January 30th. With a quote from Oprah Winfrey to start. Breathe. Let go. And remind yourself that this very moment is the only one you know you have for sure. And then there's another quote from Ernest Holmes. It is quite a burden lifted when we realize that we do not have to move the world. It is going to move anyway. When we find ourselves filled with anxiety that manifests as clenched jaw or fists, a rigid neck or scrunched shoulders, these are all indications that we have an attachment to a condition or a person in our lives. Once we observe our reactive behavior, we can take a deep breath and begin the process of letting go. We don't have to give up the intention for what we want, but we do have to be willing to give up how we go about getting it. In surrendering attachment, there is an extraordinary sense of freedom. In that freedom is an abundance of possibilities. Some would call it living in grace. How do we surrender? The practice is to take attention off trying to possess someone or something. Instead, we identify those ideas we want to express in life. In surrendering, we free ourselves from the constant chatter about what isn't working. We are then open to discover the other possibilities in store for us. We become aware of our divine self when we let go of the suffering from the past and the neediness of the future. Learning to live in this moment helps us to stay centered in love. When I live in the moment, I allow God's healing power to take charge. If I can take time in the silence, I return to the extraordinary place of peace and harmony. Instead of planning, changing, and fixing, I allow myself to just be. In those still, small, quiet moments, inspiration sneaks in and whispers its plan. There are amazing experiences waiting for us if we can let go enough to experience them. Let go, then, and let God guide you to your greater good. And then at the bottom of each page is an affirmation. I am open to unlimited opportunities. I'm open to them showing up with ease and grace. See, that's just a simple practice. One a day, like a vitamin. And you keep it up for 40 days. And you ask yourself, how's this working for me? And then let me know. I'd love to know. Write me a note and tell me what your 40-day experiment has done.